Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome in to Five Guys Stories and Lies on this Wednesday evening. It's a short work week for us. It's just an hour tonight until 7 o'clock. But we've got some topics to cover with you. We'll throw some lies out there, and you're more than welcome to join us on the Ardco Equipment Hotline number, if it's not already in your phone. By God, it should be. Area code 337-706-0111. 706-0111. Football's underway in a couple of weeks, right?
Yep. They got two college games this weekend, don't they?
Yeah, you had asked about that at lunch. There's a game Thursday of next week, Thursday night.
No, but I thought somebody was telling
me. It's Florida and Miami.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's this Saturday.
That's this Saturday.
That's this Saturday?
Yeah, this Saturday.
Two games.
Yeah, I can't remember the other one off the top of my head. But
Hawaii and Idaho or something?
I think Hawaii, Arizona, I think is what it is.
Yeah, two games this weekend.
The high schools get underway on the 30th and 31st.
Right,
That's just Kiwanis Jamboree
next week.
Yeah, the regular season starts the week after that. In fact, I think of the group of Delta Media stations that carry high school football, and there's a bunch of them. I know I've got the first one because the Vermilion Parish game is on a Thursday night. They moved it there because of, and we ran into this a little bit last year with a conflict with officials. They couldn't come up with enough officials.
Oh, yeah,
that's
we back
the
to
story
that?
Shortage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we're not back to it. We never left it, as it seems.
What game do you have, Don?
North Vermilion, and who are they hosting?
They're hosting Abbeville.
Then it's Abbeville at North Vermilion.
Well, you said something. I got that game, too.
Good. I have my statistics right there next to me, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Anyway, that begins it on Thursday. But then we've also got, you know, on the stations here at Delta Media, St. Thomas More will be on 103.7, the game. Let's see. Lafayette High goes to the Rewind, which is called 97.7.
Got Karen Crow.
You got Karen Crow. They've got Southside this year.
Yeah, they picked up Southside, right?
Best of luck for those guys. They're starting their football program in 5A.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they finally got a senior class, so it's time to go ahead and come.
Right. This is their first year of varsity competition. Dylan Monet, wasn't he at Acadiana at one point?
He still is, huh?
Yeah, no, he still is.
Still is. Yeah, he's going back to running back this year.
I think there's a different like Dylan Monet.
Yeah,
like,
that's
with Southside. It's confusing.
Because I was wondering about that.
No, I doubt he got away from it.
Oh no.
Well, I was told that Southside was pulling some students from the Lafayette High District, the Karen Crow District, and then the Youngsville Bros.
Clint, send in an official request
not
to
the
him
Karen
and
Crow,
sign
the,
it. Chuck Wood, the kid to change his name. All
right. Acadiana.
I mean, it might be spelled differently.
Clint, I tell you, you keep up with all this. I just saw something pop up. What was the deal with a school board member recruiting a player to a private school?
Yeah, I couldn't read that. I didn't read that.
This is news to me.
Can you get the Advocate?
Yeah, I can pull it up.
All right, you pull it up. We're going to talk.
Yeah, because I saw
you'll be back in a little while with the answer to that.
I was like,
the Wizard will return.
It was in the Advocate, because I couldn't pull it up because I don't subscribe to them. But they had a deal about that.
It was in the Advertiser, too.
It was?
That's why I couldn't. I didn't know it was in the Advocate.
I didn't know what school they were talking about.
I didn't either.
Okay, so you saw it. I
saw the headline.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
I saw the headline.
That's what I saw. Well, surprise, surprise. No. But, you know, when they talk about recruiting, and I've talked about this before, I know how it happens. I mean, I know how some of it happens. Some of it happens starting at the lower ages where my son's playing baseball with your son, and your son is a very good athlete, and he's going to the public school, and he grows up with my son playing baseball for 7-8 years. And he's a very talented kid. And when we're getting ready to go into high school, the average dad's going to say, man, you should come to my school with my son. you know, keep playing with him all the way through. That's how a lot of that happens. Now, when they blatantly just go out and get somebody to hear about, now that's a different story.
They need a portal.
Will you back off?
Man. Let me tell you something. Don't you know, I know your history.
Nobody's talking about you. Nobody's talking about any school.
I'm not talking about any school in particular either. I'm simply saying that I know your history with your attitude towards this, okay? And I respect that. If you don't think that there is as much recruiting going on in the public schools as there is in the private schools, then you're crazy.
No, there is now.
But there is now, yes.
There was 40 years ago when I started in the business.
Yes.
No, Bruce.
People change their addresses and go live with their grandma.
But it was going on.
No, Bruce, I can promise you. I know firsthand, no. In the past, it was not equal. Now.
Nobody said equal.
I didn't say equal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because public schools are probably caught up now. Okay, and
I'd say equal. I'm just saying it was going on.
In Lafayette Parish they're doing it, but the way they're doing it is, you know what? You want to be a music major or art major, so you want to go to that school. So if you live almost a sunset to the parish line, and you don't want to go to school in Carrickrow, you just say, hey man, I want to pursue the arts. Oh, okay, well you go Lafayette High. Well, that's where I want to go.
Well, and so what has that to have to do with the price of tea in China? That's still utilizing the system to go to school where you want to go.
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying. But in this case, nobody's paying your way. Okay,
somebody paid my kids' way to school except me.
I know it, and I know a lot of parochial schools that tell the parents, and one of them in particular. We can't pay. Some of them can. Some of them have guys that pay the tuition for them. But, you know, to say no, it doesn't exist. It exists. I mean, it exists on both sides. And I saw it on both sides. And I'm seeing it more on the public school side than I've seen before. But some schools do it better than other schools.
You sound like Chuck Schumer, man. Where's the evidence?
Bruce, how did we get off on this?
You?
I did it?
Yeah.
What did I say?
I'm Don Allen.
You got derailed somehow. I think it has something to do with the portal. Something to do with the portal.
I'm Don Allen. Gloves on.
What you got, Clint?
All right. I think I can kind of bring this back to where we were kind of going with this.
And
this is about school board member allegedly recruiting a player, and I'm going to get this. A parent filed a complaint recently with the LHSA and claimed that she left the Lafayette Parish school system after...
Who are you quoting here?
This is from the Advertiser.
All right.
Yeah, this is from the Advertiser, by the way. Make sure you clear cookies before you go to the Advertiser. That way you can get your 5 free articles every time.
I do that. I do that. The Advocate, you can't do it.
Well, Advocate, I don't think... I've never seen an Advocate, limit.
I am.
I've never seen one of those limits.
I get on and read stories every night.
I pay for the Advocate because I think it's worth it.
Yeah, but if you don't, you can't do like the Advertiser and kill the cookies.
No, well, I pay for the Advocate.
So
let's
I've looked at the Advocate. I've never seen it tell me like, oh, hey, you've got so many articles left.
Well, let's hear the rest of the story.
So let's get to what's causing all this. A parent has filed a complaint with the LHSA claiming she left the Lafayette Parish school system after a school board member repeatedly tried to recruit her daughter to play basketball at LCA. Again, like this is just...
No, not LCA.
Well, you know.
That's like a first time, right?
She since enrolled her daughter in a Vermilion Parish school where the mother coaches basketball. So
this was a school board, like a Lafayette Parish school board member?
Yes, yeah. This is
trying to get a kid to go to a private school.
Repeatedly, this is why she moved. She pulled her kid out of the Lafayette Parish school system.
Did they name him?
Hold on, give me one second. That's Timmy Chasson, but apparently Chasson has denied the allegations. This is from Tuesday, claiming a November conversation she describes never happened, and one in February came after she texted him, and he said that basically, I don't even remotely understand why the lady is going to take the time to make this stuff up.
I don't understand why she'd take the time to make that stuff up either.
Yeah. That should be your answer right there.
Yeah, Timmy. I don't can't figure out why she'd make it up either.
Yep.
Wow. It's out the blue, yeah. Well.
Okay.
There's a lot of stink on it.
Stuff happens. Okay.
Yeah, it does. The Cajuns open play on what is it, 31st?
Yep, 31st. Next Saturday.
Mississippi State.
In the Superdome. Against Mississippi State. It is UL's home game. Somebody was asking about that the other day, I think at lunch or something like that. And I have no idea what that breaks down financially, and that's not what I was bringing up. What I was bringing up was bringing us back to last week. The required for USL to be RCAF members, or suggested to, as the story miraculously changed in a span of 4 hours with no corrections and no clarifications mentioned. But here's my question. I ask, see, does somebody out there know this answer? If UL's football team is now, you know, voluntarily or whatever, donating money, $50, to become an RCAF member on lower tier, does that mean if they bring one of their friends out on the baseball team, maybe, who is on scholarship, who is not a member, who is just a student, does that mean that UL is now chancing a violation of NCAA rules?
Are you by definition a booster now?
That's the rest of my
question. Well, no, here's the scary part. You say in a baseball deal, and the more I think about it is, no, because during recruiting season, the players bring the recruits out on the town and show them around.
On an official visit.
They're not booster
players.
Club members when they're doing that. Now, this year?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So this year, when the recruits come in, who takes them out on the town?
The boosters.
Well,
your left tackle.
That's what I'm saying,
right,
because
guard.
Literally your boosters are taking them out.
Yes.
So it's like, I would love for somebody to call and tell us what. See, I never thought about that. I saw Jackie Casanova today, and we were talking about that, and we were saying, you know, because I kind of changed my mind about that, thinking, you know, that's not a bad idea to make them responsible.
Yeah.
But then when you brought that up about, well, yeah, but if you become a booster, can you associate with recruits? And every school depends on their existing players to take new recruits out to party on the town.
We've seen that problems have emanated from that at certain schools in the past.
Yeah.
The party's got a little out of hand.
You got some on that, Clint?
No, I don't have anything on that.
Had you a thought about that?
I hadn't really thought about it from that perspective, but I just feel like it's a good idea, but it just feels like maybe Napier shouldn't have said mandatory.
Well, no kidding.
No. But go back, because now there's some possible repercussions that I don't know if anybody's thought about those things. When Don brought that up, it's like, man, that was out of left field, but it's true.
I'm like Timmy Chasson here. Why would they make that up? I don't understand why they would do that. And I'm thinking to myself, they had to have thought about this. But, you know, if they did, they certainly haven't mentioned it that I've seen anyway. Of course, let's face it, the reporting on this has been very sketchy.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to have Doug Ireland coming on here soon. He just retired as the sports information director from Northwest. Maybe he can shed some light on if that's legal or not.
I don't know
if anybody knows.
We need to take a break. 706-0111. That's your number here at the studios. Five Guys, Stories and Lies. We'll be back after this.
Tom said they speed him up. I can't hear myself on here.
Oh, that's something you're doing.
All right, Dan. No, Tom said you could that they speed it up.
Yes, they do.
You record it and you just speed up the tape.
You thought the person was speaking next to me?
I thought the guy had a talent. I thought those kind of guys were. I thought that was a talent.
This is the guy who did not know Miss Kitty was a hooker.
I'm going to hear that for the rest of my life, man. Huh? Yeah, I watch her almost every day, too, and she still don't look the part, okay?
Bruce, is your mic even on?
Oh, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. A little bit closer.
Okay.
Yes, we want to get the full
Bruce Brown experience.
Full depth. Yes.
Yeah, it's okay. Like Jimi Hendrix. We don't play Hendrix,
are you
by
experienced?
The way, Clint. Yeah.
Because he's still looking for my guy.
Louisiana Little League team won today?
Yeah, that's what you told me. What, 4-1?
4-1 over New Jersey. They'll play the winner of the game tonight, which is Hawaii and
Virginia. And those are two good teams.
Yeah, well,
in fact, Hawaii's already beaten.
You're down,
Louisiana.
I think, to just three teams left in that bracket, right? Those two teams in Louisiana.
Where's Louisiana team based?
East Bank, River Ridge.
That's right. River Ridge. And somebody told me today that the Little League girls team finished second in the World Series. So River Ridge is having a heck of a year. Watch
right
out
now
for John Curtis.
Yeah, give it a couple of years. Here they come. Oh,
you're listening to Five Guys, Stories and Lies. Glenn Quibido, Tom Brown, Bruce Brown. I'm Don Allen. Barbie Adran is not with us tonight. He has a special St. Landry Parish meeting on expanding cemeteries, I think, at Opelousas. I think that's what's going on tonight.
I was going to say something else.
And, of course, our wizard behind the curtain, Clint Domain.
We thought he bailed on us. He hadn't been here
for
a couple
of weeks.
No, we
did not think that. We did not think that, Tom.
He was with Pete.
Well, we're not as connected as you are.
This
is true
also. I didn't. I'm not connected enough to have this guest with us tonight, who is Doug Ireland. He is director of the LSWA Hall of Fame. He is also just retired from sports information director at Northwestern up in Natchitoches. And I can guarantee everybody, without having talked to Doug since he was an assistant UL at assistant SID at UL, Doug, the sports information directorship at Northwestern did not prepare you for the stuff that goes on at the Hall of Fame, did it?
Well, first of all, I'm kind of in awe. It's really cool to be speaking with Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood?
Have you guys noticed how Clint Eastwood sounds so much like Don Allen?
Oh, don't do that to Clint
Eastwood.
Don't
build him up to that.
No,
please.
No.
He's hard enough to deal with. My goodness.
No, that's like apologizing to Mickey Mouse, man. Don't be doing that. Golly.
Now I have to figure out ways to imitate Clint Eastwood.
Goodness. Dirty Harry, man.
I didn't say looks.
You Barry?
That's good.
You sent us that picture the other day where he had all that hair. I can promise you he don't have it no more.
Not as much.
You can do what you need to do, but if you don't do it right, I will come back. I will kill you. I will kill your family. I will kill everyone you ever talked to. Remember that from Unforgiven?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Pretty good.
Yeah. And that one, the best one was from Dirty Harry. What was it, Doug? About,
you feel lucky today?
Yeah, you feel lucky today,
punk.
Well, do you punk?
Yeah, that was the best one.
Doug, how have you been?
Great, Don. Really wonderful. Thank you. It's an honor to be on Louisiana's premier sports talk show.
Yeah. Why, are you looking for some Bubba jeans?
I'll take anything free you can toss my way. I'm retired.
There you go.
You appear to be enjoying retirement, Doug, very, very much from the pictures that I see posted online.
Oh,
my goodness.
You see him, too?
Oh, man. I mean, he's always on a boat with beautiful women every time I see a picture.
He's always been like that. Always.
It's mermaid research.
Mermaid research.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like it's been tough on you, buddy. It looks like it's been tough.
Okay, so is there a particular controversy with the Hall of Fame, or is this just normal?
I'm not sure that we have a controversy yet. I do know that we have an election coming up Sunday, in which 35 reasonably intelligent sports media persons from around our state will sit in the room and show why they're sometimes not as intelligent over 3 hours arguing and discussing and debating merits of the 140-some-odd candidates and ultimately being able to choose only 8 of them to go into the 2020 class.
Doug, but, you said reasonably intelligent. These are the same sports writers, and we've seen it in the past, who make picking all district teams kind of laughable at times.
I've not studied all district teams in about 30 years since I was one of the sports writers.
It's a different bunch.
80s.
Yeah, no. It's a different bunch.
All right, so you got 140-something to pare down to eventually 8 Sunday, did you say?
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you follow any kind of – do you try to get so many people from different categories, or is it – is it just whoever the best 8 they determined to be for this year?
It's whoever Quib likes.
Oh, no. Oh, no, because Quib fought for one for about 12 years and got lost a lot of so-called buddies doing that. So, no, that that's not the case. No. No,
no,
yeah, we have
not,
limits.
But we do have rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, rules that caps. You could very easily each year induct 8 great football players.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be representative of the sports panorama of Louisiana. There's just too much in our state that goes on past football. And so, yeah, there are very specific rules as to how the class needs to be compiled. But certainly when you have the incredible talent that's on that ballot, just in football alone, last year, and I'm going to count this up tomorrow, last year there were 15 players on the ballot who'd been to at least one Pro Bowl.
Well, Doug, I don't, and maybe you could explain this to him, because I don't understand why you don't split it up, why you don't have an LSWA Football Hall of Fame, why you do not have an LSWA Baseball Hall of Fame, basketball, track and field, and so on down the line. You don't have to have 8 from each class.
You don't pay for it?
Yeah. Somebody is. No, you must have a salesman out there somewhere.
The banquet will last 4 days.
We having problems keeping up with the museum we have in Natchitoches, just paying the bills, man.
Yeah.
No, man. You have one and you just do the best you can.
Well, your best isn't good enough.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Have you been?
To the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
No.
No. Well, go and then come back and tell me.
I'll come back and tell you, why don't you have a Football Hall of Fame? Why don't you have a baseball? Why don't you have a basketball?
Because you're a grumpy old man. Yes. Yeah. But we can't do it.
No, I'm someone who's moved into the 21st century.
Okay.
You guys have not.
Every state has the same thing.
Okay, Doug, I would imagine that you guys have pared it down, like you said, is like, what, 140 candidates that you'll be discussing at the meeting? So I know you can't give away anything, but, like, who are some of the
– why not?
The top name – well, because you don't know yet who's been elected.
No, but you can
but
get
can
Doug's
you,
opinion.
Can you tell us, like, who some of the top names of the nominations are that would ring a bell with most listeners?
And the great thing about this is some of those will get elected Sunday. Some of those will get elected down the road. Some of those will never get elected just because of the sheer numbers of new candidates who have all – but we'll also elect people like P. Barry Porter,
yes,
who you probably never heard of before this past year unless you were into rodeo.
Right.
But his role in that sports history in this country, let alone this state, is immense. And at 92 years old, he stole the show from Peyton Manning and Les Miles. So one of the beautiful things about the Hall of Fame each year is that there's somebody who you just haven't heard of who did remarkable things in whatever sport they were in. And who those folks are this year remains to be seen. But, I mean, we've got 8-time Mr. Olympia. We've got weightlifting coaches. We've got sailors. We've got sharpshooters. We've got gymnasts, golfers, jockeys, trainers, let alone basketball, baseball, football, softball, on and on, track and field. So who are some of the names? Golly, let's just quickly throw out there a few that were bumping up against being elected in the last year or two, because this is kind of a catch-up year. I don't know that there are many, if any, first-year eligibles who are going to be a Peyton Manning.
Not a lot of slam dunks this year.
No.
Yeah. But Joe Horn is one that, in my mind, and I'm just one of the 35, and Bruce and Quiver, another two, but Joe Horn seems to be somebody. 4 Pro Bowls. He's gotten good voting support in the past, but hadn't gotten over the top yet. There are at least 3 defenders. Peanut Tillman, Orlando Thomas, of course, Ashley Ambrose, Patrick Surtain, that's 4, who all had not only great college careers, but outstanding professional careers. And that's just football. Chris Jackson, whose name I should know and probably will know, returns to eligibility this year because he is 50 years old, and he and others – like him, and there aren't many like him, have suddenly made basketball what we call a lifetime sport.
Yeah.
A lifetime sport's like golf and horse racing, where you have jockeys who are 50 or older still competing. Well, Chris Jackson turned 50 in March, so he's back on our ballot and is, I think, is going to be a very good candidate, although there were some other good basketball players in the mix last year. B.J. Ryan, just named to the Raging Cajun baseball staff. My friend Matt Deggs, what a great hire, by the way. And B.J. is one of four baseball players who've been to the All-Star game at least once. And yet, none of those guys got enough votes to get in last
year. That's my point.
Well, and you're saying Chris Jackson becomes eligible again because he's 50. From the time that you become eligible for the Hall of Fame, is there a certain amount of years where you can be nominated and then you can't until you're 50?
No. In Chris's case, he was on the ballot in 2014 and then began playing professionally again in that summer league.
So he was playing
again. His career was not, and so his career was not over.
I got you.
And it's not over now, but now that he's past the 50-year-old barrier, he's eligible.
Well, that's, and we need to take a break here, Doug, but that's kind of my point. You know, you're naming a ton of football players that probably belong there. You're naming some basketball players, baseball players you haven't named. All these guys belong there. But because of the way it's set up, just eight people per year, it's not going to happen. Now, I know, as Glenn said, money is tight. And money drives a lot of things, including your Hall of Fame. And the museum that you've got in Natchitoches. Sure would be nice to figure out a way to overcome that, though.
But that's no different than the NFL Hall of Fame. It's got to mean something. You don't want to just put 15 players a year in the hall because they play pro football.
That's right.
You know,
exactly. That's right. But you're only going to put a couple in this hall.
Well, I hate to disagree with Don, but I like it
where
it's spread out to a lot of different areas and a lot of different sports like that.
Okay, I didn't get my point across. We need to take a break. We'll do it when we come back. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies. Back after this.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Hello, all.
Good Lord, Clint, what are you doing?
Like that, Doug?
He's sending you a message.
I'm a wall.
Yeah, talk to the wall.
Well, bounce,
talk to the hand.
Bounce
man.
Off
talk,
this.
Talk
people.
To the hand, Doug.
Doug Ireland is with us tonight with the LSWA Hall of Fame. Sunday's the big meeting. They're going to cut it down to eight. Who are your two favorites, Doug?
Good luck on answering
that. Tom Brown and Don Allen. Alphabetically speaking,
I should have had a talk with this guy before you came on. I'm sorry, Doug. You know, I apologize in advance. All right, okay,
Doug. This is one of the reasons it's a top rated talk show in the state. All right, so who are your two favorites? I mean, I could have asked you this last year, and you would have said Peyton Manning and somebody else. You know,
Peyton Manning and Les were pretty obvious choices last year.
But he wouldn't have gone past that.
I'm not asking him to go past that. All I want is two for tonight.
No, and that's what is the case about this year's ballot.
No slam dunks.
There may not be a star caliber name on it in terms of superstar, anybody in the country knows who this person is. But there are some tremendous people on here. And I always say, we elect eight every year, and we could truly pick 50 off this list and be proud of the 50.
Okay.
However, going back to why there's not a football Hall of Fame, why there's not a baseball Hall of Fame sponsored by the LSWA, back in 1950, that's when the origination of the Hall of Fame was, in a conversation among sports writers trying to figure out how to get high school scores around the state on Friday nights in the fall. And somebody said, well, you know, we should do a Louisiana Hall of Fame. And a sports writer named Otis Harris, the Shreveport Journal sports editor, wrote a column and said, you know, membership should be so exclusive that sometimes we might not induct anyone. And that is a credo that through the six decades since, this Hall of Fame committee has used that philosophy to be sure that it is highly exclusive. And if the LSWA were to start sub-categories of the Hall of Fame, then it waters down the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame.
No, that's up to y'all. That would be up to y'all, Doug. If you're going to break your exclusivity in that manner, then yes, I understand what you're talking about. But you're telling me there aren't more than two or three, let's use football as an example, exclusive choices?
You see what we have to deal with?
No, no, no. Yeah, I understand.
You understand what he's saying?
To quote Clint Eastwood, sometimes a man's got to know his limitations.
Yeah, but there you go. Kind of like during the break when Don admitted to us that the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown should be all New York Yankees. There shouldn't be any other players in it. Just the Yankees.
Yeah. I will kill you. I will kill your family. I will kill everyone you've ever talked to.
As usual, we're out of hand.
Hey, look, we got to go through this every week, dude. I apologize, Doug. You're not going to change his mind.
It's strangely entertaining.
You're not going to change.
And remarkably captivating.
You're not going to change his mind.
In spite of ourselves.
He's going to insist when we go eat here in a little while, he's going to still be griping that we don't have a Football Hall of Fame, a Baseball Hall of Fame, a Tennis Hall of Fame.
No, I've already forgotten. I've already forgotten.
No. No.
The great Dave Dixon. The originator of the Superdome, the driving force behind the Saints coming to Louisiana, he and I had a conversation, I think it was 2005, and we actually discussed, well, there should be a Louisiana Football Hall of Fame. There should be a Louisiana Basketball Hall of Fame. But that's not something that the LSWA is in any position to do.
Right.
And manage and oversee. We've got our hands full with the overall arching Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame that honors all of the sportsmen in this state in some way, shape, or form.
Well, here's the deal.
We've got a beautiful museum in Natchitoches.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Every college has a Hall of Fame. Okay, so LSU has a Hall of Fame. UL has a Hall of Fame. Everybody does. The Saints have a Hall of Fame. You're not leaving many football players out that are from Louisiana out of some Hall of Fame in Louisiana. Isn't that correct?
Agreed.
There's a Hall of Fame for somebody somewhere if they're that good. All right?
There's the Louisiana High School Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they're everywhere. And look, here's one of the problems, Don, before you go. You stole most of the time. Let me have a minute. No.
There's the Lafayette High Hall of Fame. There's the Acadiana High Hall
no.
of Fame.
And there's the Notre Dame High School Hall of Fame.
There is.
Tom is trying to get into.
No, I didn't go to Notre Dame.
No, but as far as about being exclusive, and Doug, we've talked about this, where you've had problems where you've got people nominated because they might have made All-State in high school or stuff like that, and people don't understand exactly how exclusive it is to get in there. And didn't you have one recently where you keep getting letters from one person over one potential candidate?
Oh, that happens all the time. We really do. And there are some, quite frankly, and anybody can nominate the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. It's not exclusive to our selection committee or anybody else. Anyone can make a nomination just by going to our website, lasportshall.com, and getting the information on the process. But we've had nominations that were just, shall we say, not comparable to the caliber of people who are ultimately make it onto our ballot. But yet we've also had some nominations that have resulted ultimately in those people being inducted. They've been nominated by family members. They've been nominated by teammates and friends. And there are times when the person themselves is their own best promoter. And in a couple of those cases, they were right.
Doug,
but it's all subjective.
Doug,
yeah.
The reason that you gave is the one that I will buy, and I will not bring it up again simply because of that.
What?
The LSWA cannot handle that.
Well, I told you that.
No, you tell me a lot of things, so most of which is ignored.
You see?
So, Doug, I understand we don't need to talk about that again. I understand it.
Just like a bad marriage, yeah. Doug.
But, Doug, don't be surprised if you go to the website tomorrow and Don has over the night nominated 137 football players for the Hall of Fame.
No, but what I'm saying is just because you were all conference in football and maybe you were drafted, that doesn't qualify you for the Louisiana Hall of Fame.
I hope not.
Right.
No, you're not going to make the cut.
No.
Not at all.
But it's hard to explain to some people because they just don't get it. And it's like, yeah, great high school player, great college player, but we got guys that have been in Pro Bowls that we have a hard time getting in.
Yep.
I would have a problem if Charles Tillman and Orlando Thomas don't get in.
Well,
I think they will ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen overnight. I'll tell you that right now.
Doug, well, it's not overnight.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's such a broad selection out there, you know. And I mean, we have to be fair. I mean, sometimes, we're going to vote for somebody that's, we don't vote for people just because they're from around here.
We're going to impeach Glenn Tibbetts.
We could have a heck of a class if we did that this year.
Yeah, we could. Well, we had a good one a couple of years ago. We had four or five in that class. So.
Brandon and Louie and Kevin Falk.
Ben Gerard. Yeah, it was a good class. Yeah, so.
It all works out. You end up usually with people that are very well deserving of it. And, down the road, it may take two or three ballots to get them in, but they will.
Doug, what else is new?
Well, Don, by the way, Quib, Don and I were on the road together with the Raging Cajun basketball team for a couple of years back early 80s.
That's what I was going to ask you. Give us some UL stuff that, like Ken Meyer said, that was 27 years ago, so I can say this. So go ahead and tell us some stuff from back then.
Oh, my goodness. Well, some things we just aren't going to talk about on the radio. But,
That's what we want, man. That's what we want.
Yeah, I'll give you two memories of one of my favorite teams that I worked with when Drexel Allen, George Almonds, those guys, Dan Gay, Raylan Warner, what great team Bobby Pascal had. And this was the team after the Final Four team in the NIT. And we were in Hawaii, and Drexel.
I thought we weren't going to talk slowly about that stuff in Hawaii.
Go ahead.
Well, no, we're talking about it.
Depending on what I discuss. In this case, the fellows are walking down the street on Waikiki Beach, and they run into the actor Roger Mosley, who was a breakout star on the Magnum P.I. series.
T.C.
And Drexel, who, if Don will remember, and you guys probably will too, he was a very smart young man, but he didn't speak very fast. And he looks at Roger Mosley and says, man, I've been checking you out on the tube for years, dude. And the other guys just couldn't stop telling that story. So fast forward the end of the season, the Cajuns get a surprise bid to the NIT to come back.
Yeah.
And we wind up at Tennessee, and it's a 6-point lead. Less than a minute to go, and Drexel Allen, 85% free throw shooters on the line. People are streaming out of the old arena at Tennessee, thinking the Volunteer season is over. I'm congratulating myself because I had packed, figuring we were going to be on the road like poor Santa Clara was the year before, the team the Cajuns beat to go to New York City. And I figured we'd be on the road for 2 weeks if we kept winning, and here we're beating Tennessee, and we're probably going to go play Virginia. And, boy, am I smart. And Drexel misses a free throw. And they get the rebound. Tennessee comes down and scores. The Cajuns throw it away on the inbounds pass. Tennessee scores. And Tennessee ends up winning the game by one. And I remember, again, Drexel, he got picked clean at midcourt, as I recall. And I can remember him turning around and saying, no.
There's a 5-point lead.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go, 5 instead of 6. That's right. And
yeah.
Don was doing the game from a cage hanging from the ceiling.
Boy, no kidding. That was one of the all-time.
That was a great old arena, wasn't it?
Non-places I ever went.
It really
to.
Was.
Yeah.
Hang on a second, yeah. Doug. We're going to take a break, it looks like.
Five Guys, Stories and Lies. You have the music behind us. And we'll continue after Clint does his duties.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect.
Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
I don't remember the last time we were politically correct.
I've never been.
No.
Doug will tell you that.
No. That's why this show works.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, get it? No, I was going to ask Doug about a story that he told me, and he told a reporter from the Dallas Morning News.
This is Doug Ireland, Glenn, is talking about former Sports Information Director at Northwestern, currently Director of the LSWA Hall of Fame.
Thank you, Don Allen. I appreciate that.
That's what you do in radio. You reintroduce them now and then for somebody that just tuned in.
That's true. That's true.
So go ahead.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that's
it.
That's all right.
Oh, man, very gracious.
Y'all get a room.
Tom finally said something funny.
Yeah. Hey, no, Doug, remember that story you told me and you told the Dallas Morning News about the time you went to St. Martinville covering the Tigers? Carol Delahousie and them had just, what, won one state championship and lost in the finals, and next season they lost in the first round or something. And I sent you to cover them, and what happened?
Oh, let's see. There's so many great stories about those days. This isn't a game against Nish, is it?
No, this is where you were saying how tough it is to coach in South Louisiana after winning a state championship and stuff, and you lose in the first round. You don't remember the story, what you said?
About
the fans, what they were saying about Carol?
Why don't you tell us the story, Glenn?
Well, I've got another Carol story from when they were playing Broke Ridge.
Okay, go ahead. Tell that one then.
That dawns on me. Back in the preseason, they had played the Jamboree at Broke Ridge, and a very heavily favored St. Martinville team got beat. And Carol is herding them on the bus, and I'm trying to get a quote from him about what happened. It's Jamboree. It doesn't really matter. And he looks over his shoulder and says, "Hey, you boys get on the bus. This place stinks."
Oh, and
that's all I got from him. He never, so I quoted him saying that. Next week he says, "Doug," he says, "man, just pull me aside. Talk to me. Don't put that stuff in the paper."
You put that in the paper?
Absolutely. That was my lead.
This place stinks.
With his team.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
But now fast forward to the regular season, and St. Martinville's rolling, and they're up 24-0, middle of the fourth quarter. Carol didn't run up the score. He had his second team guys in there, and some of those were great players in their own right. And they drive the length of the field. It's like a 90-yard drive. He gets inside the 10, and he takes the knee three times and then runs out his field goal team. And they kick the field goal, and it's 27-0. So I'm on the field with him after the game, and there's a big crowd swarming the field. And all of a sudden, this very elderly Cajun woman walks up to him and says, Carol Delahousie, what the hell was you doing, boy? I had us and 28. And he said, he apologizes. Well, Ms. Vachelet, I'm sorry, but, the boys had played hard on the other team, too. We didn't need to run it up. But I needed to get my kicker some experience in a field goal situation.
They were saying
so, great story. So he turns to me and he says, "Doug, you got to understand, half of St. Martin Parish changes hands on this game every
year." I was about to say. The financial strength of the parish changes year to year depending on who wins. I was thinking about was they lost in the first round, and you said you were following some fans, and they were saying after he had just had a great 2-year run as a he loses in the first round. They said, "Man, we got to fire that coach. he ain't no good. We got to fire
that
coach."
That's like fans everywhere, everywhere.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Doug, we have a question for you before you go away. I know you paid attention to the story surrounding
UL Napier with the
Bill and Napier and
football contributions.
Yeah, I know you're familiar with that. My question is, and maybe you can answer that, is if they're going to be boosters now, because they're putting up a $50 fee, right, to join the RCAF, does that mean they can't take
recruits
out, or they can't take their friends maybe on a baseball scholarship out because they'll be breaking NCAA rules?
No, they're student-athletes first and foremost in the NCAA's eyes, and certainly a $50 contribution or anything like that wouldn't supersede their daily role. And there's just no way anybody would interpret that as a violation.
I remember the days when they interpreted a $10 cup of coffee as a violation.
Yeah, but the night out on the town now with a recruit probably is a lot more than $50. So...
No, but it's something you got to ask. I mean,
that makes sense, though, that, they're student athletes first. That pretty much answers it.
And we were having music in the background, which means we're about done. One more question, Doug. What's the monetary value on it? At what point do they no longer become student athletes first?
At the point which they stop competing. If they're given $1,000 to university, God bless them. What a wonderful thing. They're student athletes. And that's their primary role in the NCAA's eyes until they're not competing anymore. I'm sure that's the case.
May your Sunday be as easy as answering that question for you was.
The man knows what he's talking about.
My friend.
Well, we needed an answer on that question because it came up early. We didn't know.
Doug, thanks so much for joining us
tonight. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it.
Nice talking to you, Doug. Hang in there, man. Nice talking to you.
See you Sunday, man.
Great talking to you guys. By the way, are the Browns related?
No, they're not. There are no other Browns in Louisiana related to me.
Bruce is rolling his eyes, man.
Bruce is saying right now, thank God.
I've been rolling his eyes a lot.
It could be.
Thank you, Doug. We got to go.
See you Sunday.
All right, guys. Have fun.
Tom, bye-bye. Glenn, Bruce, I'm Don, and also for Clint. A wizard behind the curtain. This has been Five Guys, Stories and Lies. We will talk to you next Wednesday.
Time.
Sweet love is gonna save me.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper